We're doing this, we're up to the 31st chapter. Divrei Lemuel Mehelech Masa Asher Yisiratu Imo. These are the words of the king Lemuel. And this is the prophecy, the rebuke that his mother gave him. Who is Lemuel, the king? That's Shlomo HaMelech. That he, Lemuel, he said opposite Hashem. He calls himself Lemuel. And he's saying, I was standing opposite Hashem. I didn't live up to what I was supposed to do as king. And this is what my mother said to me. Lemuel is like Lemuel. He married the daughter of Paro. And we're up to Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph of Mishle. He married the daughter of Paro. And his mother was very upset with him over it. On that day, when he married the daughter of Paro, so... It'll write this way. Sorry. So she played all kinds of music that night. And in the morning, he slept late. She set him up in his bedroom, all kinds of... she covered up the shades. She covered up she placed on the ceiling copper, and it looked like stars. And she tricked him that night. She wanted leinot megufo shel oto tzadik. And the keys to the Beit HaMikdash were under his pillow. He'd always wake up early to open the Beit HaMikdash. And he came out, and the whole congregation had been waiting for him 4 hours. All the Jewish people were there waiting for him. That's when they brought the Korban Tamid in the fourth hour, and that's why we have the halacha that you could read Shema up to, you could say Tfilat Shachit till the fourth hour. Masa, the following thing, Mashal, that his mother rebuked him. Paro's daughter tricked Shlomo and caused him to sleep late the morning after their wedding. And he kept the keys of the temple under his pillow, and because of the daughter of Paro, they were detained in bringing all the sacrifices. The whole temple was locked 4 hours into the day. Ordinarily, they start service early in the morning, and Shlomo HaMelech caused the service to be very, very late. So he woke up late the next morning, and he comes in late, and everyone's talking. All the newspapers spoke about Shlomo HaMelech slept late and caused the Tamid sacrifice to be brought 4 hours into the morning.
And his mother,
so his mother, Batsheva, came in and gave him a Musar Shmuz. And she said, "Hama biri, uma bar bitni, umetz bar nidara." Yeah.
I was nowhere in the Beit HaMikdash.
Good question. I don't know.
Somebody would have to burn the...
You're right. There were people in the Beit HaMikdash. I don't know how all of this works. Technically, there were other entrances to the Beit HaMikdash, but I guess they wouldn't bring the sacrifices till they opened the gates. They wouldn't go, and the king says, you don't open up shop till I open the doors. They wouldn't open up shop. Technically, you're right. There were other ways of entering the Beit HaMikdash. There was more than one gate, and there were pishpishin, and there were other ways. When we learn Tamid. Hala. Ma biri uma bar bitni ume bar nedarai. She said to him, what'd you do? You tell everyone you're my son? Ma biri, my son, everyone's going to blame me. If you become a bum, they're going to say it's my fault. Because everyone knows your father's a tzaddik gamur. And if you're going to come out of Russia, they'll say, you know why he's like that? Because of his mother. Ma biri, what, you're telling people you're my son? Uma bar bitni. And what, the son of my stomach? You know, your father had quite a few wives. And all his other wives, once they became pregnant, so they didn't insist on spending intimate time with him. And I made sure that even when I was pregnant, we'd have time that was intimate together, because Chazal tell us that the last 6 months of pregnancy, when the husband and wife are together, it improves the child. It's beneficial to the child. I wanted you to become the best possible fetus and the best possible person. So I made sure to have time with your father, even though I was already pregnant, so that you turned out better. Uma bal bitni, what is the fruit of my stomach, my investment, to push in and get in line and get in and make sure I had intimate time with your father. Ume bal nidarai. And what is the fruit of my vows? All your father's other wives, they took on vows and they promised Hashem, if only you give me a son that's fit to be king. I never asked for a son fit to king. I asked Rabbon Shalom, give me a son that is going to be big in Torah. And this is the product of my vows. Al titein lanashim cheilecha udrachecha lamchot melachin. Don't you be quick. Don't you weaken your strength with women. Don't invest all your strength with women. Udrachecha. And don't make your path lamchot, like limchia, to wipe out. Melachim. The daughters of kings, the princesses, don't make your path to go and destroy the path of kings. Don't you be different than the way a king is supposed to behave. You have to be careful how you behave. Al lamelachim limoel. Al lamelachim shito yahin ulgozenim ei sheichar. His mother tells him, listen here, my son Limoel. It's not fitting that...
Why is it Lemuel, Lemuel?
I don't know. Be careful of kings that drink wine. Be careful of leaders who drink aged wine, who drink beer. She warns him, Shlomo HaMelech, you be careful of those people. Ala Melachim, it's not fitting for the kings who are really... Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu, over here, Limmo'el, is like for Hashem, instead of opposite Hashem. The kings, they're really for Hashem. They're supposed to be Hashem's representatives here. And it's not fitting for them to drink wine, or to drink beer, or aged wine. You guys, you're king, so you're representative of God in this world. You have to bring justice to the world, to be fair. You have no right to waste your time in drinking. Pen yishte v'yishkach mechukak v'yishaneh din kol b'neyoni, lest that king drink, and he will change from the, he will forget the laws of the Torah, and then he will be wrong in the way he judges all the impoverished. They look to him for justice, and he won't be doing an honest justice system. He won't be doing his job as in being a fair judge for the people. What are you supposed to do with aged wine? Why did God create such a thing? You know who you give aged wine to? You give it to someone who's going to be lost anyways. He's doomed. He's finished. So then give him aged wine. You have someone who's suffering terribly. You give him wine to be able to forget his sorrow. You don't have another way of giving him treatment to get out of his sorrow. So a person, God forbid, is terminally ill, he's suffering, so sometimes you want him to be able to forget his pain. He'll drink it and he will forget his impoverished state, and he will forget the suffering that he's in right now. Now, this advice, we have to be careful how we apply it. I mean, we don't want a person to become an alcoholic. So ordinarily, if a guy's teenage son says, "Dad, I'm so depressed, I'm so upset," figure out how you can help him. You don't tell him, "Well, here, have a beer, forget your troubles." That's not a good idea. But on the other hand, there are times when a person sometimes is going through a very, very difficult time. So you have to be careful who you give this advice to, again, because people sometimes can take it the wrong way, and then they end up worse off. They end up drinking. But if you have a responsible person who could really watch himself and be careful, so there can be times where if a person just can't fall asleep, you tell him, here, come, have a shot of whiskey, and you'll fall asleep. There can be times when that is something to help a person with. In our day and age, where there are so many people, so many teenagers and even adults who are stuck to the bottle, and it's like a common social thing, you end your day in the bar, so I would think 10 times and then think another 10 times before I offer this advice to anyone. Because you never know where it'll end up. There are too many people who end up in the bars their whole life. So it's, this isn't advice that you can apply. I wouldn't apply this advice. Petach picha le'ilehim el din kol b'nei chalof. Can I see your tikkun? Where are we? Yeah, so that's how it says in your tikkun. In my tikkun, it says like this. Petach picha le'ilehim el din. But I think it's a mistake. I think the way it says by you is more accurate. So open your mouth and you speak to a person who cannot talk. Shlomo HaMelech, she tells him, Pitach picha. Don't drink wine. You'll have your intelligence with you, and then you'll be able to speak on behalf of those who cannot. That's your job as a king. If you have a person who comes and he can't set his case straight. You see, a guy's been cheated, and he's not educated enough to make his claim. He comes to court, and you see, he can't make his claim. Well, if you're not with it 100%, you'll miss it. You have to be very sharp as a judge. You can't judge a person just because he doesn't know how to make his claims well. Petach picha, your job as king is to open your mouth on behalf of those that are mute. They cannot talk. Petach picha leilem, you speak on behalf of those that cannot talk. That's your job as king. Don't waste your strength. El din, and open your mouth for all the sons who are foolish, kol b'nei chalof, and they confuse their claims when they come to make their claims, to speak before you. You help them, you help set them straight. In order to be a true judge, you have to understand those that are coming to you. Sometimes you have someone who's coming, he's an orphan, he tries to make his claim, he doesn't know how to represent his case. That's b'nei chalof, the children who are, they're machlif, they interchange. There's a confusion between their mind, what they think, their claim, and their mouth when they try to actually make their claim. Petach picha, shifot tzedek. Open your mouth and judge righteously. You have to know how to question the witnesses, how to question the people who come before you. You have to be a fair judge. In order to do that, you have to talk intelligently. Vidin ani ve'evyon, and then you'll be able to judge on behalf of those that are impoverished. That is your job, Shlomo. His mother just gave him 9 verses of rebuke, and she's telling him, don't you spend your strength with the women. Don't you spend your strength with wine. Your job as king is to be there for the people and right those that are wronged, and don't waste your strength with women. So those are the 9 psukim we just learned now, and with this we reach the end of Sefer Mishlei. The Sefer Mishlei concludes with that famous chapter of Eshet Chayil, which we will begin Be'ezrat Hashem next time.